This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. And as we begin, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. If you're hearing the podcast after Thanksgiving, I hope you had a tremendous time with family and friends. A lot to give thanks to. And if you're a Raider fan, let's get this going again. A Raiders desperately in a need for a win as they get set to take on the Titans this Sunday, November 29th in Nashville. Well, how did the Raiders get here over the last couple of weeks? After the win against the Jets, 34-20 at home, the Raiders had a four-game run, which I thought would be critical. At the Steelers, home against the Vikings, at the Lions, and at the Titans. And this was a situation where a lot of insiders and people who knew football thought the Raiders could go 3-1 during that stretch and at a minimum get a split because Detroit and Tennessee, teams that weren't playing for the playoffs, were there. And this could be a launching pad for the Silver and Black. It's been exactly the opposite. The Raiders have lost three in a row and now are in a situation where it's a must-win game against the Titans. Look, I've been generous on this platform talking about important games, sense of urgency. It'd be nice to win this game. That's all out the window. The Raiders have a feel, and they should have a desperate feel around them that they need to start rattling off victories, and this would be a good spot to do it. Coming off the loss to the Lions, 18-3, the Raiders got off to a very slow start. They were shut out in the first half. Before the third quarter, they came out and outscored Detroit 13-0 to take a 13-9 lead. That's a game that they had to win. Period. And they weren't able to close them out. We'll talk to Tom Flores coming up and Lorenzo Neal about what the Raiders need to do to turn this season around. But to me, it's simple. The Raiders have got to be explosive in the first half. If you look at their victories this year and the games they won, the Raiders started quick. We haven't seen that now, almost going on a month. So if whatever they need to do, they have to start fast in Nashville and get on top of the Titans. And then it's a balance. Quite frankly, a lot of fans, people are tweeting saying, hey, what do you do? Let's open it up. Let's throw downfield. It's not that easy. In the NFL, you need to establish the run at times to open up the passing game. But I think the Raiders now have no choice. We know who they are. They are a passing team with a young quarterback who can throw it 40 times a game for over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. I don't see the Raiders winning a lot of games unless their offense is explosive the rest of the way. And the good news is Amari Cooper, who's definitely in the middle of a slump, Crabtree coming off another big game, and the fact that there's experience at the wide receiver position and there's a healthy quarterback, I think the Raiders can flip the switch and get hot on offense, but they got to get off the field on third down. They got to get to the quarterback, and they've got to hope that they could take advantage of quarterbacks like Marcus Mariota, Alex Smith, Brock Osweiler, or an aging Peyton Manning coming up here. The Packers are coming into town. That's not the same Packer team from the first half. And then to end the season against a Charger team who's finished and possibly at home, when you look at this, that Charger game at home on Christmas Eve is huge because the Raiders could be in a spot at Kansas City for the wild card on January 3rd. But I'm asking for a lot. There's a team that's lost three in a row. I'm asking for a lot. And I'm asking for a win against the Titans. I'm saying look around that locker room. Woodson and the leaders have that team ready to play and come out and bury the Titans early and then be one game away from 500 and a critical game, a monster game against Kansas City, a team that the Raiders are going to have to sweep. They're going to have to beat San Diego, and they're going to have to get a win somewhere down the stretch, either at the Broncos or home against the Packers. But it can be done, but only if the quality of play increases. Joining us on the official Raiders podcast, the ultimate of Raider legends and NFL legends, Tom Flores joins us. And, Coach, we're going to jump right into it. I've been very patient on this platform talking about the recent Raider game, sense of urgency. Now it comes down to, I guess, must-win games the rest of the way if the Raiders want to get back into this wild card race.
Yeah, there's no question. They've had their opportunities, and that's the good news. The bad news is they haven't taken advantage of them. They haven't been able to play well enough to take advantage of the real close games. The one thing that's different this year than in past years is they are in the games, with exception of maybe a couple, all the way till the very end, winning a few and losing a few. And they just have to make sure they make the plays the right time. But they seem to have gone flat the last couple of weeks.
I would agree, Coach. And do you think because they got shut out in the first half against Detroit, they come out in the second half and outscore Detroit 13-0, at one point have the lead in the game? Is it the fact that they're not in a rhythm on offense, or they just can't get off the field on defense on third down? It seems to be a combination of things that have been hurting the team the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a combination. You're right. The third down is a big issue. This last Sunday, the offense, they just didn't make the plays when they needed to. I mean, it seems like our young Amari Cooper is having a little midseason rookie, whatever you want to call it. I think sometimes rookies run into a wall about this time of year and have to get through that period, because this season goes into almost two seasons for them in college. And, you know, he dropped some key balls on Sunday that would have kept the drives alive.
Tom Flores joins us. Coach, I would agree. He was targeted only four times in that game, and to have one reception and to see 4 yards here, it's disappointing for a player who was at one point leading the league as a rookie in receptions and yards. How do you build back a player like that, Coach? And I want to talk about with you specifically, with all the great players that you had as a coach, when they were going through a slump as a young player, what did you personally do to help build them back again?
Well, you're right. I mean, I had as a player, you know, going back to Biletnikoff when his younger years, and as a coach, you know, with Branch and Casper and guys like that. You know, some of them do, some of them don't. But if they're having some issues, you don't change anything, because you just have to do it harder. You have to concentrate a little bit more. You have to. You can't panic, because if you panic, they'll panic and go down with you. So you have to be consistent in that respect and just continue on as if, I mean, they have to know the urgency, but still they have to work themselves through it a lot. Just like a quarterback have to work themselves through a slump sometimes by themselves with help, but still by themselves. It's an individual effort.
So, Coach, don't you think Derek Carr, for a guy who has that big of an arm, should be throwing the ball more and taking a chance with more attempts downfield?
My feeling, I'm old school. Let's air it out a little bit deeper once in a while, a little bit more than we have been. But still, they've got to get the ball in you know, they've got two outside receivers that are really good. I think Michael Crabtree is playing great. Amari Cooper is in a little bit of a slump, but he'll work his way out of it. But you got to get the ball to Murray also, not necessarily the line of scrimmage, but get the ball to him down the field in the passing game and the tight ends. So there's a lot of ways you can pass, but you still have to run the ball. You get inside that red zone, you got to be able to run the ball.
Hey, Coach, you know, for a guy like you who coached at the highest level and won multiple Super Bowls and played at a high level at a quarterback, you know it's easy for fans to criticize play calling. A lot of fans just want to see the Raiders be explosive in the air all the time. But with that balance on the ground and blocking up front with the offensive line, it's not easy. And do you think that's where the Raiders are having issues on this three-game losing streak, is finding that balance on offense again? After the San Diego game in San Diego, what a rhythm the Raiders have, and they look like they were making a playoff charge. Do you think they find that rhythm at Tennessee with a team that's clearly not in the playoff picture and a game the Raiders should win?
Well, this would be a good time to establish that again. It's a good time to get their confidence back because, first of all, it's against a team that's struggling, a young team as well with a young quarterback that you never know how that young quarterback's going to play. But it's also on the road. You win a game like this, it's a must-win. On the road, that's a real plus. You come home and you get excited once again, getting ready to play in your division.
So, Coach, the opportunity to play Kansas City twice, especially the game coming up at home on the 6th, that could be a launching pad for the team.
Absolutely, especially if we can, you know, we got to win this game coming up and then come home and play Kansas City and go ahead of them in the standings, you know, in our division. Who knows how Denver's going to end up, you know, with the new change of quarterbacks, although their defense is still outstanding. But and wouldn't it be great if we could just go right down the wire and play Kansas City for the wild spot the last game of the year? That would be like the old days.
It'd be incredible. Coach, finally, you have a beautiful wife, great kids, grandkids. What are you most thankful about on Thanksgiving at this stage in your life, especially with the silver and black?
well, that we're all healthy. We're all healthy and alive and kicking and eating turkey on Thanksgiving Day, watching football, and getting ready for the next Raider game. How good is that?
It's great. Thank you so much for your time, Coach. We'll see you soon. So thanks to the legend Tom Flores for joining us, and now we go in and have a conversation with one of the greatest fullbacks to ever play the game, one of the toughest physical players that we've ever seen play with the Silver and Black and in this league. Lorenzo Neal joins us, also from the Raider flagship, 95.7 the game. And, Lo, thanks for the time, and I got to just break this out in the beginning. It's a must-win game. I think you agree. Everyone on your radio shows agree that the Raiders have to get a win at Nashville.
Without a doubt. I just finished up some Nashville radio with Derek Mason, one of my teammates that I played with the Titans. This is a Raiders team that's desperate. This is a team that needs to find a way to turn things around. Right now, this team just hasn't played well the last several weeks, guys. They just really, on offense and defense, has been stymied. They have really not been able to move the ball with some consistency. Defense 2 weeks ago, give up 203 yards against Adrian Peterson, one of the greats. The week before, you go into Pittsburgh and give up over 170 yards rushing. Offensively, you were able to score in that game. But since then, where's the offense gone? Where's Carr and Young, Amari Cooper, and Crabtree? The Raiders are going to have to step up and play offense, especially with the suspension of Alden Smith. Defense needs help. And right now, the offense needs to step up and be big, because this is definitely a must-win.
Lorenzo is a former player but now a member of the media. Do you point fingers at the play calling, or is it individually on the players for not making plays in preparation of the game plan that's put in by the coaches?
I think it's a combination of things. One, I'm a strong believer, if all things being equal, players make plays and coaches make decisions that help determine outcomes of the game. When you look at this team, far as talent-wise and just far as, when I say all things being equal, last week, it's just a matter of guys, a man to a man, to say we're going to go out and play against this team of Detroit that hasn't won. It's not really a good team. It gives up a lot of points on the ground. It gives up a lot of rushing. Hasn't had a running back rush for over 100 yards. That's lack of players, lack of effort. And then you say, look, who is in charge of getting those guys ready to play football? That's the falls on the head coach's job, is to have guys ready to play. Not saying you got to be rah-rah every day, but it's the way that you go about practice as a head coach, and you demand excellence. Look no further than where? New England Patriots. Sometimes that's not the right talent right now. Losing, don't have Amendola, Edelman, all the different guys are out. Lost Lewis, a great running back who you can line up and slot, put him all over the place. But they find a way to keep going. Not comparing this team to New England, because you know you have Tom Brady. But you have a guy, a young Carr, who should be trying to be an elite quarterback. He's got to step his game up, and this coaching staff has to make sure these guys understand the importance of this game, and moving forward, they can't have any more hiccups.
Lorenzo Neal's our guest on the official Raiders podcast. Lorenzo, that's important what you just said, because they didn't start fast at Detroit. They were shut out in the first half before they took the lead in this game. I think it's interesting the rest of the way. I talked about this with Coach Flores. This is an offense that's known for its passing game and the deep ball and the ability of Carr to get hot and to throw it 40 times a game. Isn't that the only chance the Raiders have? I mean, you love to run the ball with Latavius Murray if he can do it, but you can't count on 100 yards a game here. Is it the time to say, hey, sense of urgency, must win. If we're going to go down, let's go down with this quarterback throwing downfield.
Absolutely. Carr gives you the best chance to go out and compete and put you in games. You still have to run the ball to show some type of balance with Latavius Murray, but it's shown a little bit. He runs a little upright. Yes, he is a game changer when he's on point, but you don't have time now. You don't have to have time to grind out games and go three and out and try to play field position, because your defense, frankly, isn't good enough. It comes and goes through Carr. Carr and Amari Cooper and Crabtree. Crabtree, they got to let the ball come through Crabtree and not necessarily Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is going to have his opportunity to be a not good, but a great receiver in this league. But right now, who's the veteran guy who's more savvy, who can run great routes, who can move the chains and keep things off and still take those shots downfield to Amari when you can? It's got to be Crabtree. Crabtree has to play big and put him in slot and move him around. So now they can determine whether it's man or zone and move Crabtree around and flood sides and let Crabtree do what he needs to do. And Carr needs to understand that. And they also still need to hit the tight ends, because if we have Rivera and have Wolford, have some tight ends that need to step up and make some plays, and Carr's got to deliver the ball. So, yes, you're right. The offense needs to step up, more now than ever.
Lorenzo Neal joins us as we wrap this up. Lorenzo, let's do a best-case scenario. The Raiders now for that last wild card spot, the last one, the sixth seed. Kansas City has this as of today at 5-5. Houston's 5-5. Buffalo's 5-5. The Jets are 5-5. The Raiders are 4-6, but they own the tiebreaker over the Jets here. Buffalo, you know, lost to New England on Monday night. They have a tough schedule coming up. But the key is, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Raiders have two games left against Kansas City. That's the team they're chasing. It's in their division. They get them at home first coming off this game against the Titans. It really comes down to sweeping Kansas City and hopefully coming off the win against the Titans and hope that you can take down Kansas City and bring them back to the pack.
No question. When you talked about those teams, you're absolutely right. The Raiders still control their own destiny. And when you talked about Kansas City, you talked about Buffalo, you talked about the Jets, those teams that are fighting for that last wild card spot, if you had to tell me which quarterback that you want out of all those guys right now, it would be Carr, not Alex Smith, not Jarrod Taylor, not anyone at the Jets. I think right now Carr is the best quarterback out of those four vying for playoff spots. They have to go out and take this opportunity. On paper, they can do it, but it's going to take some hard work and determination, and defense is going to have to play in spots. But offense right now, and Carr, needs to step up and carry this team if they have any hope of getting in the playoffs, and it starts this week in Tennessee.
After your brilliant career and now being a member of the media, especially in the Bay Area, and I love the job you're doing, how close do you feel you can get to the edge in criticizing this team and organization and their play, and then keeping credibility because you're on the radio and you obviously play to your audience on the radio? How have you made that adjustment? And I know you can get intense. You're getting intense today, but you love that part of your job.
Oh, no question, guys. Here's the thing. Guys, one thing to do is going to respect it. I got 16 years in the National Football League. To walk into any locker room, and I have one thing is instant credibility and gravitas. When I look at San Francisco, we understand those players aren't good enough. And when I look at Tom Sula, this guy's been set up for failure, and an organization understand that. Look at the way they're handling Colin Kaepernick. It's not professional. If you want a guy, if you don't want a guy there, you don't need to beat him up in the media. You don't need things to leak. Look how they handled Harbaugh. So these organizations, some organizations do things the right way, and there's other organizations right now, especially the San Francisco 49ers, that are doing things the wrong way that could have a long-term effect on this organization moving forward if they're trying to rebuild. Because what coaches, what players, and free agency, when they hear all this stuff and see what the San Francisco 49ers are doing, who wants to come here and play if you don't keep your credibility? So I have no problem calling guys out and ask what's going on, because that's my job, and guys understand that. It's just the way you do it. It's the way you do it with tact, but guys have to, one thing they have to realize, if you say the truth and you don't back down from it, if you're not trying to be condescending, guys respect it. They don't have to agree with you, but they got to respect it.
Last point, Thanksgiving. What are you most proud of, thankful about in your life now off the football field with your family and friends?
Yeah, you just hit it all, man. Family, having both my parents still here with me, wife, kids, and we all have so much to be thankful for. Freedom is no longer free, guys. You see what's going on in Syria and all throughout the country, in London, all different things going on. We live in the best country in the world, and other people are so jealous that they try to take our freedoms away. We are in the best place in the world, so I am so grateful to be American. I'm proud to be a part of this great country, and man, thank God we're all free.
Thank God we could get you on the official Raiders podcast. Lo, thanks for doing this. We'll see you soon at the Coliseum. I'll talk to you down the road. Thank you very much.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
So thanks again to Lorenzo Neal and Tom Flores for joining us on the Thanksgiving edition of the Officials Raiders podcast. Remember, Raider Nation, when it comes to Coach Flores, we didn't have enough time to get it in, but the Hall of Fame push on this podcast has been big for Cliff Branch, and it will be big for Jim Plunkett. We just had Coach Flores on, Kenny the Snake Stabler. We did his tribute podcast, and a lot of this has to do with you, the fans of the Raider Nation, because you can take this podcast and send it out virally, retweet. Tweet it at Twitter, send it out on Facebook if it comes through the Raiders site, and get people talking about the Raider legends who are not in the Hall of Fame, also Lester Hayes. It's very important. The organization understands this, and this is a global fan base that could really help with that push. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT. I hope you and your family enjoy the long holiday weekend with Thanksgiving. We'll get you ready coming up for the Kansas City game at home. Hopefully the Raiders go out and smash the Titans, win that game, and get back to their winning ways. JT the Brick, the official Raiders podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.